Tonight on the 24 Hours to Hell and Back After Show, 2 episodes, 2 hours, Gordon Ramsay fix 2 restaurants. We're going to break down the renovation of Social and Madeir's. Stay with us. We're going to get started in just a minute.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz
begin. I'm hungry.
And here we are on an after show again with no food.
2 weeks.
2 weeks,
it's Mike. Been since we saw some ridiculously dirty kitchens.
I know. It has been quite a while, and I missed it. I did have Bar Rescue to fill in my time, though. That's been my new obsession. We'll talk about that after.
We're talking about it right now. Are they in a new season right now?
I started at the beginning.
You never saw it before?
I never saw it before. We decided to just, because we couldn't find it, we decided to just pay for it.
You know, John Taffer, big friend of AfterBuzz.
Yeah, I do know, and that's why we're watching
that
it.
That man is awesome.
He's amazing.
He is the Gordon Ramsay of the bar industry.
Absolutely.
I don't think he'd mind if I said that. If so, let me know, John. Love to talk to you anyway. But I often thought, what a cool job. I'd love to go work for John Taffer.
John Taffer. He's tapping into
I'm tired. We're tapping the beers. I'd love to work for him and go in and consult and just like fix people's bars up. Because just as we've seen in this show, I can fix restaurants, no problem.
That's right. And all it takes, as we've talked about, is a new coat of paint.
That's right.
And in our second episode, we have a woman that is not happy with the new coats of paint. But before we jump into... Before we get into all of that, we're going to go episode at a time. So we'll talk about Social first, which is the restaurant down in Costa Mesa. Then we'll jump into the Los Angeles restaurant called Madeir's. And both 2 different restaurants, I guess he was down there. He's like, 2 birds with 1 stone, finale, boom.
Yeah.
The first one was very surprising to me. The second one, I think you mentioned this before the show, why do we get the best of the season at the end? It's the last one.
Madeir's is literally the best episode of this entire season.
It was fantastic.
Absolutely. Hands down.
But we're going to start with Social.
Yeah.
Social, we had the owners, Andrew and Raquel. They were a married couple. Raquel was a former Miss California. Is that what she said?
Yeah, 2008.
Former, 2008 beauty pageant. And then we had a bit of a mess with the chefs. I think that was really where, I mean, a lot of the problems seemed to stem from the disorganization in the kitchen. We had Jose, who was the original chef, and people seemed to like him. Then he took a hiatus, then he came back, and they had Hayro, who was the chef in the meantime, and then they had John and Dan, or Don, was it Don or Dan? I think it was Dan.
John and Dan.
Yes, okay.
They dislike Hayro.
They dislike Hayro, and...
They like Jose.
They like Jose. But it was so convoluted. I was like, what is happening in the kitchen? They have like 6 chefs back there.
Really strange, yeah.
Yeah, I've never seen anything like that. The most I've ever seen is like 2 or 3.
Right.
For restaurants sort of that size. Another thing I was really...
I'm going to tell you.
Tell me what you thought of the restaurant going into it, because I couldn't believe how nice it was. This is the first one.
Easily is the nicest restaurant they've done in the show.
Oh,
I love
God.
The decor. I thought it looked extremely modern. The wonderful sign with the little, I don't even know what you call them, the little globe lights or the tiny things. It's just so modern and kind of in right now. The rustic design, the wood paneling on the walls. I thought it all looked really, really good.
It was beautiful.
And to that point, that wasn't any of the problem.
No.
They barely remade that place.
And I was honestly surprised that they even remodeled anything.
Yeah.
I was like, did you need to? I mean, it looked
it
nice
It was really,
afterwards.
Really little. Yeah, I'm sure, but it looked great beforehand, too.
It looked great before. It didn't need it. And the only thought I couldn't help but think, wow, Ramsay's design team must have been thrilled coming into that restaurant. They were like, oh my God.
hang a bunch of globes up on the ceiling.
Put some new chairs. Brian and Teresa were like, oh, finally. A break.
Before we get into all this.
Yes.
We just got too excited.
We got really excited.
I love Bar Rescue. I love John. What's your name?
Oh my God. We didn't even introduce ourselves because we got so excited
about
it.
Did everybody know who we are?
You guys, I'm Zia Anderson and I'm here with my lovely co-host Mike Thieling.
What's up, guys? We're going to have so much fun. I also don't want to let you get too far down the rabbit hole because once again... Guys, Zia is skipping my most favorite part, which is Ramsay's disguise.
His disguise.
This episode was the best disguise ever.
Oh my God, it was amazing.
His little body double dude who went in there, who was, sorry, obviously not Gordon Ramsay.
Didn't look anything like him.
No. Well, okay.
A little
in the
bit.
Realm of Gordon Ramsay impersonators, this guy was pretty on point. Like, he's good,
His face, though. The way he was saying things, the hair was perfect, but his face, you look at his face and it's right. not Gordon Ramsay.
But as far as Ramsay impersonators go, yeah. he's got to be near the top of the list. And the things he was saying were super on point, too.
They were.
100%. All the little jabs on what's wrong with the food and whatnot, super on point. And what a genius thing to do yeah. so he can see them treat him specifically and differently than all the other customers. Yes. It's amazing.
That means their service was terrible.
Yeah.
They did not enjoy good service. Which is a huge part of having a restaurant. And I think a lot of this stems from the fact that Andrew just kind of stopped caring. And he wasn't really running the restaurant anymore. He was just kind of hanging out and he let everything go. It's just amazing to see a restaurant where things have sort of fallen so far, where the food's not really coming out. It's not up to par.
Right.
The food wasn't great.
Well, they said beforehand, if you remember when they first opened, yeah. lines out the door.
Yeah.
Doing amazing business.
Mm-hmm.
And then it seems like they had a rough patch where it was bad thing after bad thing after bad thing. A problem with the chef. I didn't think it was Jose. I thought it was a different chef they had a big problem with. Because he said that original chef had to be fired. Mm-hmm. Right? So big problem with the chef. Some other issues going down with staff and whatnot.
Manager.
And then they just, the manager, that's mm-hmm. right. And then they just took a complete slide downwards and they kind of, that I think hit him really, really hard. He mm-hmm. never got his mojo back and they got stuck into this rut of just not doing good.
Yeah. And just sort of letting things happen. But this again yeah. was the first restaurant I've ever seen where the kitchen, it flooded a little bit, but other than that, it wasn't disgusting. They didn't have to go through the kitchen looking for rotten food and rotten produce. And you know, he didn't have to run his hands through your favorite thing.
Yeah. He didn't have to stick anything in people's faces or anything.
Yeah.
This episode, it was really just, they needed to fix the problem with the chefs because you had a complete mm-hmm. disharmony in the kitchen.
Yes.
Everybody likes Jose, wants to work for Jose, but Jose stepped away, so he's not in charge. And I think my gut instinct was that Jairo actually had really, really good intentions for this restaurant. I think he wanted to do good by it. I don't think he was a very effective leader or manager, and he didn't garner the respect of the other cooks. And that was kind of the downfall, the beginning of the end.
Yeah. And I also think that he maybe had a little bit too much of an ego in mm-hmm. the kitchen and thought mm-hmm. that maybe he could do no wrong and everybody else was beneath him. I sort of got a little bit of that vibe from him and just the way that the other members of staff kind of reacted to having him around.
Right.
And he was very young. He was 25.
Yeah.
So I feel like he has a lot more ahead of him. He has a lot more work. He has, you know, a lot more of experience that he can gain, but I think he'll be fine.
But like we said, the restaurant overall, perfect aesthetic.
Beautiful.
It seemed clean. Not too bad.
What do
we
have?
We had long ticket times. Okay. We had that like flood in the kitchen, but that could have been just a one-off kind of whatever.
Our kitchen floods sometimes too.
They were doing some shots on the job. We had Chef Wayne in here. He was saying he lets his people take shots and stuff.
All right, to sidetrack again, but John Taffer is so against that kind of thing.
John really is. And I respect John a lot. Even though I mess up your name, my friend, I love you, dude. John Taffer. I got you, buddy. I've watched every Bar Rescue. That's embarrassing. He's right. That's right. He's very, very against that. And it's cool to see Wayne and John's different take on that. That's a different management style.
It is.
And it would honestly be tough for us to say either one is incorrect because Chef Wayne is very successful and he runs his restaurant that way. I think a lot of the times, we're turning this into a Bar Rescue after show. A lot of times when John is going into these bars, if you're starting from -1,000 and you need to get the bar up to functioning, yeah, no drinking. And plus, the difference between Wayne, I'm sorry, I'm going to cut you off.
No,
the difference between Wayne letting his staff take a shot once in a while for fun is different usually than what John is walking into because they're getting blasted and not actually servicing customers and stuff.
That was literally the exact point I was going to make is that it's not an issue if you're doing it every once in a while, you're not getting hammered on the job. Totally different as opposed to, you know, drinking yourself into a stupor every night. But still, I feel like as an owner, he probably shouldn't have been taking shots with his staff too much because they were starting to
walk
all over him.
It's fair enough. And then one of the line chefs stuck his finger in the food and licked it. That's gross.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
They weren't great back there.
That was gross.
And sneezing all over the place.
Yeah, don't do that either.
John was the sneezy one. It's fine if you have to sneeze, but don't just openly sneeze.
Yeah, you have a sleeve for a reason.
Yeah, just into something, like in your shirt, anything. So that wasn't great. Raquel was off to a little bit of a rocky start. She had quite a bit of attitude there in the beginning. I understand that she was trying to defend her husband and she loves him. But Gordon is right. You have to look at things objectively to be able to run things and get anything done. Right. And I think she was having a really hard time doing that.
I think so, too. I understood, just like you, defending the husband. Even the Andrew was not extremely defensive right off the bat. No. But he did say that was unfair when he talked about him drinking with the staff. Look, the point is you were drinking with the staff. If it's not a big deal, kind of understandable, but you also have to understand what Ramsey's coming into. He's only seeing what he's seen, undercover cameras. And again, he doesn't know exactly what level the restaurant is at, and he's trying to bring it up to 100%. So knocking all the nonsense off right off the bat is a good way to get it back on track. And look, at the end of the day, you're $250,000 in debt.
Exactly.
You don't get to argue about that much stuff. Just like we say over and over and over again, it's just yes, listen. You're right. I mean, and honestly, when I saw Andrew, I thought that's what he was going to do. I thought he was actually going to tell Raquel, chill, like, he's right. Yeah. Yes, my wife's trying to defend me, but Gordon, you're right. There's no excuses. We want to make this better. And that's why it was so disappointing when he put his hand up to said he thought about quitting.
Yeah, that was what was terrible. It's your restaurant.
Right.
If you think about quitting, then close it up and leave.
Yeah.
But he was still, hanging on, I guess, to his family and their livelihood. Because I guess, what do you do after that? After you're that much
in debt? He kept saying there's no plan B. So if they're all in, I don't know. What do you? I mean, I would be so scared 24/7.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And that's the point, that it's so strange that you sort of just let things go to that level.
Right.
Because this is how he makes his money. You would think he would be on top of the staff more. Look, it's fine to be a cool boss. Like, you never want to work for an a-hole. Like, that's never what you want. You want to work for someone that's cool and easy to work for. But at the same time, the work needs to be getting done.
Right.
If it's not getting done, then that's not okay.
You want to work for a cool boss.
Everybody wants to work for a cool boss.
You know who cool bosses are? Kevin Undergaro and Maria Menounos, because they created AfterBuzz for us and all of you fine folks watching us. But just like we say over and over and over again, this is not just one restaurant here. You don't have to just eat Chinese food every single time and come hang out with Zia and I. You can go have Italian. You can go have American. You can have country. Because we cover shows from every single genre and every single TV show you could possibly ever want. We got tons of channels. So we do need your help. If you're watching us on YouTube, hit that subscribe button. Give us a thumbs up. If you're listening to us on iTunes, hit us with a 5-star review. Yo, let us know that you guys did it, because we love shouting you all out in the comments and in live when we're broadcasting, because we love you guys. I'm not allowed to talk about reality TVs at home with my wife. So I need something to do. You guys let me come here and talk to you guys, and you help us remain the ESPN of TV talk. So we thank you so much.
Seriously, y'all are awesome. There's a reason we get to do this. And Kevin and Maria are awesome too.
That's right.
Not so awesome restaurant. Oh, go.
I'm excited for what came next in the episode. I'm jumping in here because the chef cookdown challenge.
That was awesome.
Was awesome. I was like, cool. Am I watching Survivor Restaurant Edition? Fantastic.
Know.
I love this kind of stuff. Make them work for it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then you get to really assess the talent level and sort of what they're doing. And look, I'm a salmon lover, so I was going to go with the salmon anyway.
It looked better.
It looked better. And the pearl couscous. I mean, it's making me hungry again thinking about it.
To be fair, they both looked good.
No, they did.
But to the point of the exercise and the competition, it was who elevated that dish. That's right. And the salmon did it. And as we kind of expected, and kind of felt like the editing was going that way, Jose is going to come back in and reign supreme. Jose.
Yep. And everybody was really happy about it, obviously.
Big time.
And I definitely, after hearing Jose's story, felt like it was a good thing for him. He deserved that. He worked his way out of a really not great situation. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of crimes and gangs where he came from. And he was like, so the kitchen was where kind of I found solace and got out of that situation. I was like, that's awesome.
Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors. And today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to. And you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor.com. FM to get started.
Yeah, and to be honest, I felt bad for Hyro because, again, I think he had good intentions, and I loved what he said on the way out.
That was really nice.
Positions like this happen all the time. Mm-hmm. I lost my job today, but I can go and potentially I'll have something better, new tomorrow that fits with his style of management or whatever, and that's fantastic. That's why you got to look at it.
Yeah, and he didn't badmouth the restaurant. He didn't badmouth any of the owners. He just kind of was like, okay, well, this is just what happened, and it's time for me to move on. And again, he's so young.
Oh, yeah.
He has so much ahead of him. 25, seriously.
You'll be good, bro.
Yeah, you're going to be fine. With all kinds of other jobs.
So we fix up the chef problem.
Yeah, so that was the one big issue. Then they did their tiny minor renovations, but really it was just getting Andrew back on track.
Yep.
And I think that he actually did a really good job in doing that. This is, so we're going to do our Yelp reviews, not both at the end. We'll do one now.
Okay,
and then
sure.
We'll do one at the end. So I'll give you a moment to get that together. But I'm curious to see how well that they're doing after that, because this is down in Costa Mesa where a lot of people have a lot of money. There's a lot of restaurants out there. There's a lot of competition. So even though they're really good, you have to give people a reason to keep coming back. So they really have to uphold that standard.
Yep.
I really hope they did that just for their sake. Because, Raquel had some attitude, but they have two kids. And
So this is very, very interesting. As opposed to most restaurants that we have on here, Social has a lot of reviews.
Ooh. Well, because it's in L.A.
967 Yelp reviews.
Wow.
And they have 3.5 stars.
Okay. That's
respectable.
Not great.
It's not fantastic, but it's respectable. And I will say that a bunch of the recent reviews are either 4 or 5 stars.
Great.
And from what I've seen, the ones that are lower are not because of food. It looks like, for example, bad parking lot. Took us too long to sit down, maybe a little bit of stuff with the check times and things like that. So I feel good about that. I think that's the kind of stuff that can be fixed easier than bad food or cleanliness or things like that. So, okay, if it's long ticket times, you would hope that's because the place is super packed. If it's super packed, potentially really worth going. So
We
skipped over it, but I would go to this restaurant for sure.
Oh, I would absolutely go to this restaurant. And actually, I might just because.
Great.
Because why not? It's in Costa Mesa. We can go there.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. This second one. So good for them. I really hope they do it well. Jumping into the second restaurant.
They're borderline didn't even need to be on the show, I feel like.
I kind of agree. But they were $250,000 in debt. So
yeah,
they were doing something wrong and they needed sort of Gordon's help on that.
Fair enough.
I get. But or, you know, I don't know. They didn't just need a new coat of paint.
No.
Maybe they just needed a therapist. Or a good manager.
I think they just needed to really straighten out the stuff with the chefs.
Yeah, that was really the issue.
Because that
and the service.
The chefs are what's bringing out the food, obviously. So that's going to be a major core of the restaurant. And as soon as that stress and whatever is taken care of, I feel like that elevates everything else. Because I think Andrew, as a manager and as a leader, and especially as an outward-facing owner, was really, really good. Table touches, interacting with guests. His wife was fantastic. So, yeah. And they got to take a vacation.
Yay
for their new baby.
So,
Ishnu.
Maybe we'll get a chance to go there and we can try some of their food for ourselves.
Sounds
which,
good.
After those images and videos, I want to because it looked delicious. But jumping into the next restaurant, it is Madeir's Bakery and Bistro.
Yeah.
And that's here in Los Angeles. And as soon as I heard that, I was like, bakery? I want to go there.
Yeah.
How have I missed this place? Because I thought I found all the bakeries in LA.
Right.
I'm not joking. I look up bakeries in my spare time.
You did not.
Hmm.
You missed this one.
How did I do that? So this one definitely needed to be on this show.
Big time.
They really needed Gordon's help. This, and despite the fact that the kitchen, there was a lot of cleanliness issues there. It was old. It was dilapidated. They just kind of let it go. The cakes looked delicious. They didn't really touch on that. And I'm really bummed that they didn't. Because I wanted to know how they were. They were more focusing on the regular food, which there were a lot of problems there. But I think the biggest part of the issue came with the family dynamic in this restaurant, because it was a family-owned restaurant. And this one actually hit really hard because it was a really sad story.
It is.
It was a really sad story. So this woman, Carrie, she's the owner, is
wonderful.
Armenian. Sorry.
That was she's having a tough time.
Brain fart.
We disagree on this. So we're going to, like, start out right off the bat. Zia and I disagree on the level of, is sympathy the right word?
Yes.
For the owner.
Yes. I have a lot of sympathy for the owner. And I
okay,
feel,
sorry.
No, I do. Because her situation's really sad. The fact that she's Armenian.
Yes.
And she married a black man and her family disowned her.
Mm-hmm.
And first of all, that's just like some 1960s, like 50s, 40s, like nonsense.
Disowned her and her children.
Yeah. So she has two daughters, Tiffany and Marissa, and they both work in the restaurant, right. In there. And so I had sympathy for that part of her. What I don't have sympathy for is the way she was treating her daughters.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I was having a hard time rooting for her because of it was, and I'm sorry, it was just kind of despicable. Like, I don't care what you've been through in your life, you be better for your kids.
And you'd
be there for them.
I agree, but I could also understand how difficult something like that would be if your kids seem like they hate you. And not Marissa, but Tiffany sure seemed like she held a lot of animosity towards her mom.
Her mom said, they said that her mom had not said, "I love you" to her daughter since she was maybe 8.
Understood.
Understood. Why she had animosity towards her mom.
My gut feeling is that we're not hearing the whole story.
That's definitely
and
possible.
I have what my read was that the girls went and supported their father in the divorce because of the other family dynamics of their grandparents disowning them on their mom's side, them rejecting that Armenian side because of that and really embracing their father's side because of it. I think that their mom, especially for Tiffany, got caught a lot in the crossfire because Tiffany's the older daughter, right? She's the older, first yeah. daughter. So I think a lot of that animosity got directed immediately towards mom. And I think after years of that, maybe mom still was loving and stuff like that. And then after a while, you know, she's not a young lady.
No, she
so
was
after
65?
A while, it's really, really tough if your kids are going to hold that against you. Maybe, to be fair, Tiffany didn't want to hear it.
Maybe.
We don't know.
That's true.
I felt really, really bad for her.
I did feel bad for her. I couldn't help but feel worse for her daughters. It was, especially Marissa, because it seemed like she was really caught in the middle of it and it was eating her up. She was
for sure.
really emotional about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that to me was really hard to watch.
To be fair, now I know we're going to the episode, but
we're going to talk about the restaurant.
It seemed like, I mean, this is the restaurant. This is the whole thing of it.
It is.
It seemed like even when Carrie was willing to do something, say something, talk, open it up, Tiffany wasn't interested. In fact, it was much harder for Gordon to get her to say she loved her mom than to get Carrie to say it. Carrie immediately said, yeah, I love her. She's my eldest daughter.
And then he said, when was the last time you said it? She said 30 years.
Fair enough. No, I'm
30 years.
I'm not arguing that with you at all.
Right.
Fair enough. But I feel like it's more from the daughter in this
you
situation.
Think?
I don't know. It's just my gut feeling. Yeah.
It's just for me, it's hard because if it happened then, the daughter was 8. So I get it. If that is the case, it's hard to have your daughter not love you. But
I mean,
again, we don't. Go ahead.
Kids at 8, 7, I could see them in a divorce. Clinging to dad. Yeah. You're not allowed at grandma's house anymore. Grandma hates you. I mean, grandma is mom's mom. That's very confusing. A lot of times in divorce, kids choose one parent to bond closer to than the other. Perhaps they lived with their mom. Perhaps they fought all the time with their mom. Maybe going over to dad's house was always fun because they didn't live there. I don't know. There's a lot of stuff going on, right?
It's
really, really deep.
30 years of history.
Exactly. So,
I did really feel for this woman, but there were points in the episode where I was having a hard time rooting for her, not just because of the way she was treating her kids, but just because of the way she was being about the restaurant. I was like, oh, you are just a...
And now here, I'll give you the flip side of this, too.
You're a piece of work, lady.
I'll give you the flip side of this, too. The reason why I didn't feel like that was because she's an older lady, older owner. Nothing wrong with that. Of course, keep working all that stuff. But I feel like she was so tired, so done. And at her age, I don't think she wanted to be running a restaurant anymore. And I think she was just utterly and completely drained. So in all of the bad habits and all of the bad interactions that she was having with the staff and the restaurant, all I saw was an internal frustration and tiredness and doneness that she had no other way to get out of. And to me, it was because she was an elder. She is an elder. And she even said, I'm not supposed to be working anymore. Like,
well,
She
wanted to be retired.
I shouldn't be doing this. But because her family disowned her, I could never imagine what that would feel like. And so that's why in all of her behavior, that's what I saw.
And I can understand that. But at the same time, if you're running a successful restaurant, you could have been retired.
Fair enough. Now, where I'll switch sides is how she hated everything that Gordon did. That's unacceptable.
I was like,
because Gordon is a god, all right? So if Gordon or John Taffer tell you to do something, you just do it and you love it. Anyway, let's talk about this episode.
She was getting into it so hardcore with Brian. I felt bad for Brian. She's like, what is this black wall?
God.
And Brian was like, no, we're not going to keep it like this. And she was just spending her whole time arguing with him. And I was like, just let him. He has 24 hours to fix your restaurant. Let him get on with it. Oh, my goodness. And you know who I also felt really bad for was the chef, Trayvon. He was a great chef. He was really talented. He had no problems when they were training him. He had no problems in the relaunch. He really did a fantastic job, and he seems such a sweet, soft-spoken guy.
Yeah.
That just was getting beaten down.
Her frustrations are definitely taken out on the staff. It's definitely inexcusable. It's completely uncalled for. I was just trying to say what my gut feeling was, the reasons behind it. But you're absolutely right. She shouldn't be treating the staff like that. She shouldn't be doing this kind of stuff, of course.
And no, and I understand, especially when, you know, you're older and you're tired. But I just, it's hard. You can be tired and not treat people like crap.
They also had the reverse problem of almost every other restaurant on this show. They ordered too little of everything.
Yeah.
So they were 86ing everything on the menu. My favorite comment of maybe the entire series, when that dude came in and he was like, how are you a black restaurant with no collard greens? I was like, that's
grits.
Awesome,
it was grits.
Man.
Yeah.
Oh, grits,
like,
sorry.
No,
I was like, that's
so
amazing, dude. I was like, wow. And that dude came back for the relaunch too. He also, I love that guy. He came back for the relaunch and he like hugged that dude, or like he hugged somebody, and I was like, are you actually a friend? Like, do you actually know these? Oh, you seem way too comfortable coming back.
And
I
also,
love that guy.
He was super comfortable with his banter with the waitress.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
the waitress,
yeah.
She's like, you've been ignoring me. And the waitress, I'm about to ignore you right
I
now.
I know. I was like, this was like, seems like
they know each other.
Yeah.
Maybe he's a regular. That
Maybe
he
great.
Comes in all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really funny. The relaunch, though, first of all, we didn't even quite get into the restaurant beforehand. It was filthy.
Yep.
It was dilapidated. It was this really bad pink color.
Very old-fashioned.
Very, but not in a good way.
Not in a good way. In a time capsule. There's obviously, like we've been saying over and over, has not been renovated, has not been updated. They're not keeping up with
no
it.
Paint.
No paint.
No paint. But I thought that their after was amazing. It was great.
180-degree turnaround.
Oh, my god!
They should have. And the daughters, to their credit, loved it. Mom should have loved it. It was fantastic. It looked really good. I love the distressed wood, how they were messing around with that and got everybody involved. Like, that's
so cool.
Really, really cool.
Yeah, they looked at it and they were like, we made this. Like, we did this. Which is, you take pride in the restaurant when you put that much work into it.
Yep.
So I think that, and it's always mind-boggling to me how you can go from having a really run-down, like, broken everything, chipped paint, like pieces of stuff falling, and you get this whole brand new renovation. You can be like, I don't like it.
I don't understand.
It's night and day.
Change is difficult. He kept saying that, and I was like, yeah,
it's
it is difficult. But
really,
when you get like
though,
brand new restaurant, it's not really change. When you go from broken, busted stuff to brand new things, it's like, oh, this change is really hard. Like, no, it's not really.
It's
really like a gift.
Redid my apartment if I was living in a crap hole, and someone was like, we're gonna give you a whole new apartment. I wouldn't be like, I don't like it. I'm
right.
Like, oh my God, look at my new apartment.
It's very, very difficult to hear owners say things like that, especially when the shows come in and put in a lot of time and a lot of effort. And again, shouldn't be a surprise.
No.
You applied for 24 hours to Hell and Back. You know what's going to happen. They're going to come in. They're going to flip your restaurant all up. You're going to get new great stuff, and it's going to help out a lot. So at the end of the day, Carrie, your restaurant looks fantastic now.
And the menu that they worked with, the kitchen staff seemed to pick up on it very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
They were obviously talented. They obviously knew what they were doing. But that cobbler, though.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. So that was a really cute bonding.
You didn't know Gordon could do desserts, did you?
Gordon could do, as you guys might notice, I have a sweet tooth and I love baked goods especially. So that was my favorite part. And I really was kind of bummed that they didn't touch on it more. But I want that cobbler.
And it was our same dude. That same friend was like, yeah, this cobbler is awesome. I was like, yeah, it is, buddy. Get it. I love that guy.
Yeah, he was great.
Sunglasses inside the whole time. Not Karen. I love that guy. He's one of the new stars. He should be one of the diners at every single episode. Like, they just bring him in. He could be Gordon's decoy. It's just like Jason. And Jason goes into all the restaurants and he eats and gives his opinion. Yeah, I like that guy a lot.
Yeah, definitely do that.
Superstar.
That was amazing. But seriously, that cobbler looked fantastic. And I don't even think the kitchen really got backed up. It was mostly Carrie.
Trayvon did a great job, and he was getting praise, and everything seemed to be really, really good. Everything seemed to be moving. Carrie, I think, is not used to expediting.
Yeah.
Gordon wanted her to expedite, so she's kind of trying to slide into that role. Seems like she did a pretty good job, especially for kind of a first-timer.
Yeah.
And the daughters took charge. Mm-hmm. We also glossed over this, but in making the dessert, in making the cobbler, really fun little bonding thing, mom and daughters cooking together. Maybe they can do some more of that. My gut feeling, I got a lot of gut feelings this episode. My gut feeling, what I want to believe is that this is going to mend their relationship up a lot. I hope so.
They need years of therapy.
It's not overnight, obviously, or in 24 hours, should we say. It's going to take more, but I really, really hope this is something on the road to recovery, because mom, Carrie being abandoned by her family, okay, you know she doesn't want to do that to her daughters.
I hope not.
And I hope they recognize that even though they have a strained relationship, that that's not happening to them, and they shouldn't want it to happen to them.
Well, yeah, and I would, you're right, I would absolutely hope not, because of what they've been through, just the fact that, and I mean, they're a torn family that's been torn in like three. Mm-hmm. First, Carrie's family disowned her, and then she got a divorce from her husband.
Right.
So, I mean, there's just all kinds of fractured, and it's so broken. They need therapy, but I hope that...
And it was her sister, too. Her sister. Didn't talk about that. Her sister turned her mom against her.
It's like, really sad.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that they take those steps to sort of at least try to work it out.
They can do it. They can do it.
They
and
can.
I think if the turnaround is successful and they work at it, the restaurant can potentially be what brings them back together.
Yeah.
If Carrie's able to give them some more control, give them some more responsibility, and take her hands off of stuff, which is really hard for her to, you know, a lot of these owners that we've seen over the whole season, mm-hmm. they're big, big control freaks. So if she can back off a little bit, let the daughters take some control, show them responsibility, show them the love and the trust,
mm-hmm.
I think the restaurant can be the reason they build back up.
And I hope it is.
Man, that's a good way for us to end our show on.
It's
such
right?
so positive and uplifting.
I know.
Yeah.
And on that note, I want to know how this restaurant is doing very, very badly. So I cannot. First of all, would you go eat there? Yes, I want to go get their baked goods. Mike, would you go eat there?
I would.
Yeah.
Yep, I would try it out. Yeah, absolutely. So interestingly enough, same score as social, 3.5 stars on Yelp, 234 reviews, so significantly fewer reviews. Mm-hmm. Now, mixed bag.
Okay.
Overall, I will say since January, more positive than negative.
Okay.
For sure. But still plenty of one-star reviews. And sorry, everybody, I'm having trouble picking out something that's really, really good. But people are saying breakfast was ruined, tasted kind of regular. But, you know, more 5-star reviews than not. So
okay. Tell I me say about the baked goods.
I'm so sorry. So they're recommending chicken wings. They're recommending sweet potato pancakes. But I'm not seeing anything specifically about the baked goods.
This is a bakery, guys. Where's the cake? Okay.
Sorry.
Well, anyway, maybe I'm going to have to go there for myself and try the cake out, and I will report back and let you know. That wraps it up. This is our finale.
Wow.
I can't believe it. now I guess I'm just going to have to watch Bar Rescue until the next season comes out.
It's worth it.
It is.
Bar Rescue is fantastic. Mm-hmm. And like we said, there's a one of the Bar Rescue bars pretty close to our studios here.
Oh, hey. Mm-hmm. So we got to go there. And until then, maybe I'll hit a bit like a list of some 24 Hours to Hell and Back alumni, you know, shows or restaurants, sorry, to kind of hold me over until next season. So until next season. Thank you all so much for watching.
Thanks for hanging out with us, guys. Yeah, this is a lot of fun. Yeah. I'll maintain. I just love watching Gordon Ramsay yell at people. I don't care what he's doing.
Always fun. And until then, until next season, where can the people find you?
Guys, it's been so fun hanging out with y'all. I'm Mike Thielen. You find me everywhere at Mike Thielen.
And I'm Zia Anderson. You can find me everywhere at Zia underscore land. It's XIA underscore land. Again, thank you so much. Bye.
Go hug your mom.
Go with your mom. Yes.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in.
Who the hell is John Tapper, Mike?
Remember,
what the fuck?
We're not just the first. My mouth just went blue. In the world. And we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup.
We actually need like 2 hours of content to fill an hour show for this because one show.
Views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.
There's barely anything to talk about.
Because it was just such an easy.
I think that restaurant, honestly, if he had just fired Jose, or sorry, if he had fired Jairo.
Yeah.